I want to just spend a few moments this evening thinking about two people, two very, very significant people indeed. In fact, they were two kings, basically. And I want to think about their births. I want to think about their lives. And I also want to think about their kingdoms. And I may move a little bit, so I'm just going to move that slightly that way so I don't take my own eye out in a moment, all right? So I need a couple of volunteers to come and help me. And yeah, okay. I was going to say I've got some chocolates if people were reserved, but I'm not going to have to give them out now, am I? Yes, why, you look sensible. Why don't you come and help me? Fantastic. Excellent. What's your name?
Elizabeth,
nice to meet you, Elizabeth. I'm Tim. Come and stand on the stage there, Elizabeth. Brilliant, excellent. I need another volunteer, and I think this time we'll go for a man. It's only one boy. Oh, it's a couple of boys. We'll go for your brother here.
What's your name? Joshua.
Joshua, come on out, Joshua. I knew your name really, but everyone else didn't. Fantastic. So Elizabeth and Joshua at the front here to help me. So we've got these two men that we're thinking about. And first of all, I want to think about their births. The first guy was born about 2,000 years ago. The actual birthday, his actual birthday was the 23rd of September, 63 BC. 23rd of September, 63 BC. So that's a long, long time ago. And he was also born a long, long, long away from here. A long, long way from Sheffield. And we learn as we think about his story. I'm going to come to it in a minute, tell you a little bit more about him. But basically his dad was a very senior government official. All right, a very senior government official indeed. So no doubt when he was born, he was provided with the most fancy cot you could even imagine. So Joshua, why don't you hold the microphone for a moment? Tell a few jokes if you can think of any. Great, well there's a... Thank you for the joke, excellent. There is our first nice cot. We'll put that down there for you there. You can have those later on for volunteering so nicely. So, no doubt this first gentleman, he had plenty of silk in his cot when he was a baby. He was well loved. He was well looked after. His dad being a senior official in the government, no doubt his cot was placed in the fanciest of rooms, in a huge house. And no doubt there were plenty of servants around as well. And no doubt that his dad had, I don't know, whatever the equivalent was, a chariot, a GTI of some sort. Anyway, some sort of flash chariot. So this guy was highly significant. He was a very, very important man indeed. And his name, if I can get the Latin right, was Gaius Octavianus. Gaius Octavianus. Can you all say that? Thanks for joining us. Nice to know the young people are with me. I didn't hear too many deep voices about that from many of the men. Gaius Octavianus. And he really was a very, very flash person indeed with his really nice cot. You might want to join in a little bit here and say, ooh, nice cot there. Thanks for joining in. You just weren't concentrating there, you know. So there he is, Gaius Octavianus. He had a very, very famous uncle. A very famous uncle indeed. Anyone want to have a hazard a guess at who Gaius's uncle was? We're talking Roman times here. Yeah, Louise?
Emperor Augustus?
No, not at all. No, it was an emperor. Yes, it was somebody else.
Julius Caesar?
You're absolutely right. Julius Caesar. I've only got two chocolate bars and I'm tempted to take them off you guys, but I've already said you can have them. You're absolutely right. Julius Caesar, Gaius Octavianus, his uncle was Julius Caesar. So we might want to say, ooh.
Can you say that?
It has been recorded on CD, so you've now been heard. Excellent. So everybody knew, with an uncle like that, and with a dad who was already a senior official in the government, that Gaius would do well in life. He would do very well indeed. And that became even clearer when did you know this? Uncle Julius adopted him when he was 16 years old. Did you know that? Did you? Excellent. What's your name?
Rachel.
You want to take over Rachel now? Excellent. Did you come with anyone else, Rachel? You come on your own? No. Who did you come with? Who's up there? Your mum. Where's your, does Rachel's mum want to wave just so I know who you are? Excellent. Hey, Rosie, that's right. Fantastic. We'll all be gathering around with Rosie at the end to see how to bring up our children. Fantastic. So, Julius Caesar adopted Gaius when he was 16 years old. That's the first guy. That's his birth. And let's move to the second man. He was also born about 2,000 years ago. And he also lived a long, long, long way away from here. But unlike Gaius, this baby was born in a filthy shed. Do you know who it was?
Jesus.
Yeah, I knew you'd get it right. Excellent. That's right, it was Jesus. That was his name. Born in a filthy shed. There was no nice warm cot. There was no very nice indeed bits of silk. Basically, it was a trough with some straw. So there were no servants of that. Do you want to hold that for a moment? Tell some jokes while you're at it, Elizabeth. Do you know any good jokes?
No.
Oh, no. I'm not that brave. Hey, look at that. It took me a bit of while to knock that up. Hey, big round of applause. No, I'm only kidding. It wasn't me. That was made by Ken Watson. Fancy cot that. Well made. But that's the kind of thing that Jesus would have laid in. Bits of wood put together. And straw instead of silk, there was no big house, just a dirty shed. There were no servants. There was no flash chariot either. And you know what? The records don't even tell us there was a donkey, even though often there's a donkey in the nativity story. The Bible doesn't tell us about a donkey. There wasn't even one of them about. They were a poor family, poor family indeed. So we might want to say. Thanks, Alex. Do it again. Right, good. Fantastic. It's a major contrast, though, isn't it, between Gaius here and between Jesus. These are two births of these two men. So what about their lives? Let's go back to Gaius again, shall we? Back to Gaius. Can you remember his full name? Can you remember it?
Gaius Octavianus.
Fantastic, excellent. I won't ask who your mum and dad are. I know they are. Gaius Octavianus. You also have grandma and grandpa here tonight, haven't you? Excellent. So they'll be real proud of you now. Yay. So Gaius Octavianus, he grew basically to be a mighty general. His life basically was marked by basically high honour. High honour indeed. So do you want to help me again? You can tell your joke now. Is it a nice joke? Is it a good joke?
Quite.
Would your mum laugh?
No.
Would your dad laugh? All right, you can do it then.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Pooh. Don't need to cry, it's only a joke.
Basically, what Gaius would have perhaps looked like. We're talking really, really flash dude here, really as well. And I would have put these on you as well, but seeing as you've already got glasses on, I'll put them on my dog. I'll leave those out. He was really where things were at, very much where things were at in his day as this senior general in the army, in the Roman army. And basically by about 30 BC, 30 years before Christ, Gaius was the undisputed master of the whole of the Roman Empire. Why? Well, basically what happened was this, was Uncle Julius was murdered. And Gaius really wasn't very happy about that. And Gaius had a big influence with a lot of other soldiers. And so what Gaius decided to do was to go and avenge all his uncle's enemies, basically, to avenge the blood. And so he went out and he killed all his Uncle Julius's enemies. And he basically became emperor. He became emperor of all of Rome. And that all happened on the 16th of January, 27 BC. You can read about it in the history books. Gaius became emperor of Rome, and he changed his name. Well, wouldn't you if you had a name like Gaius? Is anyone here called Gaius? It's a relief, isn't it? Anyone here surname? No, Octavianus. What a name! He changed his name basically, and to Caesar Augustus. Augustus, which basically means, Augustus basically means increasing majesty. So he did fancy himself rather a lot, did Gaius Octavianus, calling himself Augustus, Caesar Augustus. And under Caesar Augustus, the Roman Empire grew and grew and grew. Well, let's go back to the second man. The second man, Jesus, he grew up as a carpenter. Do you know, hold that in your hand. Do you know any jokes? You're not funny yet, right? You've got a few minutes left still. There you go. Hold that. Basically, Jesus, he never really wore very many fancy clothes. He worked in a carpenter shop. And that was what his life was marked by. From his hometown, from his house, no doubt you would have seen the sun glinting on the armour of Roman soldiers. Caesar Augustus's soldiers ruled his area of the world. And he was in this situation, in a place called Nazareth where he grew up, which was really just a very, very small, insignificant, unknown backwater of Caesar Augustus's whole empire. And basically these two men, Caesar Augustus, Gaius Octavianus, and Jesus Christ, their stories cross. And we've already had that read from us today. Basically their stories crossed, and Luke tells us all about that in his gospel. And that was a reading which Mark Gilder read for us earlier on this evening. And I just want to say, as we look at the accounts of Jesus Christ, people like Luke, and there was also Matthew, and there was Mark, and there was John. Basically, these guys were very, very serious about the research that they did about Jesus. And Luke himself was a doctor. Now, I know there are quite a few doctors here today, and I want to say, I know doctors aren't stupid. And I want to say, sometimes we think that people 2,000 years ago were a bit daft. But they weren't. They were highly intelligent people. And Luke, who wrote Luke's Gospel, was a doctor. He was one of the most intelligent people amongst a bunch of intelligent people 2,000 years ago. And one of his little hobbies was basically history. And he says at the beginning of his Gospel, he says this. He basically says that he's compiled a narrative of things that were accomplished among us by Jesus, just as those who were from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, and they've delivered it to us. It seemed good to me, he's writing to a guy called Theophilus, having done plenty of research, to write for you an orderly account, basically an accurate account of these things myself. So basically Luke is being very, very serious indeed. And he comes to chapter 2, the reading that we had read, and he roots Jesus Christ well and truly in history. He says this, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be registered." So there was Caesar Augustus doing his stuff, shuffling the cards, getting people across the Roman Empire all moved about, basically so he could collect taxes off of them. And it was during his reign that Jesus Christ was born, the Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas time. And I simply want to say really today that Christmas isn't just for children. I want to repeat that. Christmas isn't just fairy stories. It is actually about fact. Recorded fact. I want to say that Christianity is not hagiography or anything like that. It is actually history. History. Now, you see, Jesus was about 19 years old when Caesar Augustus died. And at the age of 30, Jesus left his carpenter shop and he became a travelling preacher. But unlike Caesar Augustus, Jesus, he never left his tiny hill country in his entire life, which was just, like I say, it's just a small fraction of Augustus's huge empire. So these two men, they have contrasting births. They lived very contrasting lives indeed. In fact, they were both ended up being kings of very, very different kingdoms. So let's go back to Caesar Augustus, shall we, for a moment, and think about his kingdom for a moment. The symbol of Caesar Augustus's kingdom was basically a golden eagle. You got any more jokes?
Hold
that for a minute. You run out. Sure. Yeah. Look forward to those Christmas crackers. They do. That was the symbol of Caesar Augustus's reign. I'm going to hold on to that. A golden eagle, or as Caleb said when he saw it making, my son Caleb is just 3 and he thinks it's a golden parrot. So I didn't feel so good. I thought I'd done quite a good job there with that golden eagle. I didn't attempt a crib, but a golden eagle I thought I could do. But this is a symbol. It's a symbol of great power. It is a symbol of status, and it was carried right across the entire Roman world by Roman soldiers. And basically, Caesar Augustus, he ruled the Roman Empire for 41 years. He built roads. He had a big impact upon education and upon politics. He had a big impact upon art and trade and a whole load of other things. He built a vast empire, one that still affects most of Western Europe today, 2,000 years later. His impact was huge. Jesus Christ, however, was strikingly different. See, the symbol of Jesus Christ's reign and rule was actually a symbol of this guy's repression. The Romans came up and devised the most cruel method of killing people who did, people who did wrong. They devised a cross. And no Roman citizen, it was against the law to crucify a Roman citizen. It was used to repress other people. And striking enough, the symbol of their repression and oppression became the symbol of his reign. Strikingly different, isn't it? The golden eagle versus a cross. Can I hold that, Joshua? Big difference. Two different men with very, very different lives. And strikingly enough, that at the age of 33 or thereabouts, Jesus Christ was killed, was crucified by the Roman Empire. And yet, the symbol, this guy's symbol of oppression, to Christians demonstrates not oppression but love. He built his kingdom entirely upon repression of other people and force. And Jesus built his kingdom upon love and upon self-sacrifice and about giving himself for others, upon forgiveness. You see, they're two very different men, two contrasting births, two contrasting lives, two very, very different kingdoms indeed. And you might well say, well, which one do we remember the most? Which one did have the biggest impact? Which one is most significant? Which one is most important? I mean, basically, you would have thought Caesar Augustus, as you look at the history books. He was a great man. He was a wonderful man in his own way. He even has a month named after him, doesn't he? August. In fact, he named that himself. He took one of the months, he named it August, and he nicked one of the days off February. That's the reason why we only have, you know, a few days in February. He nicked it off because he wanted to be having 31 days in his month, like July and September. That's the reason why it goes a bit odd at that stage, because of him. So he affected our calendar. Caesar Augustus, what a wonderful guy. The amazing thing is that we actually name history after this guy. See, everything before him is called before Christ. That's striking, isn't it? You wouldn't have thought that from where they began and what they did. And in actual fact, we don't call anything after him. We call things AD, which is Latin, Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. Basically saying he's not finished yet. He still lives. He still reigns. He still rules. And perhaps I think one of the most striking differences, and this is where I'm really drawing to a close now. This guy, just before he died, his courtiers said of Caesar Augustus, said of him, a man has become a god. Striking, isn't it? Because at his birth, Jesus Christ, and after his death, basically the claim on him is that God became a man. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas time. God has become a man. I want to really say, we've got plenty of guests and friends and folks that are here with us tonight for the first time. And I really want to kind of put perhaps a little bit of a challenge in. See, I think that Jesus Christ is too significant to be ignored. I think he's too important to be written off as just a religious teacher or just a good man. In fact, he's too important to be written off as just anything. I don't think one can use the word just for him. He's certainly too big to be kept to Christmas. He's certainly too big just to be kept with children. I think he's too public to be kept private. And that's really what we're about here at Christ Church Central. As I said at the beginning, we're a new church. And we've not actually gone public yet. We've been meeting in this place for 2 months now. We kind of like go public in January. I want to encourage you tonight to just consider joining us. Not forever and a day, but just perhaps for 3 Sundays in January. The 4th, the 8th, the 11th. You'll see on the service sheet you've got there the details of those first 3 Sundays in January, the 4th, the 8th, and the 11th of January. In those 3 Sundays here at Christ Church Central, we're just going to be carrying on thinking about Jesus. This man is too significant. His impact upon the world is too huge to be ignored. And we're going to be thinking again on the 4th, the 11th, the 18th, who is Jesus? Why did he come? And we'll be thinking about his death. Christmas time, we celebrate his birth. On the 18th of January, we're going to be thinking a little bit about his death as well. So I want to encourage you perhaps to consider coming back. We always start with plenty of tea and cake. And there's always a warm welcome here, a friendly welcome. We won't be a church for people who don't go to church. That means that we'll do things that are understandable. We'll cut out as much jargon as possible. And we'll be as friendly as possible and as user-friendly as possible. And we also encourage questions. And normally I encourage plenty of questions in my Bible talks, my sermons as well. So we invite questions. We invite people to think things through. But we do have convictions. Our conviction is that at Christmas time, 2,000 years ago, God became a man in Jesus Christ. And that we give thanks to God for.